You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
I am joined by Duncan Grieve, founder of The Spinoff and co-founder of Loom, alongside Tim Harper, Sasha Judd and Justin Warren. After work started on the digital music platform in September of 2025, the Loom team are now announcing their second music drop, as well as an Android version of the app. Here now to chat all about it, welcome to the program, Duncan. How are you going this morning?
Morning, Lily. I'm really good. Yeah, really good. Thanks so much for having me.
That's great to have you. I always like to ask this to the people that I interview at 8:30. Have you had a coffee thus far?
Yeah, I had a coffee at like 5 a.m. because I'm one of those people. But I overdue a follow-up, I have to say. But hopefully I can, sort of give enough energy to get through this.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I mean, I guess waking up at 5 a.m. must kind of give you an energy kick in itself.
I just think it's a deformity that I have to live with, unfortunately. I start with 100% battery life, and by mid-afternoon, I'm absolutely useless. But there you go.
I kind of feel the same. I'm the same. My 3 p.m. is like everybody else's, like 6 p.m.
Yeah, totally. Well, breakfast host, you have to.
Yeah.
You'd hope it'd be that way.
Exactly. So Duncan, Loom, it went live on the Apple Music Store this past July, debuting with 22 Aotearoa albums, classic and fresh. For our listeners, just tell us a little bit about it. This isn't a streaming service. This is an app that champions the music and the artists first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, I guess it came out of, I was a music magazine editor like 20 years ago in my early 20s. And albums were the whole story, right? Like, that was what you kind of chased. Everything was hooked around that. And for most artists, I won't say all, but for a decent majority of artists, it still feels like that's true. But streaming platforms don't feel like they're built around that. And then also, there was this kind of thing that I noticed where, like, a lot of the sort of prickly, interesting, challenging music that I'd always loved just didn't feel like it naturally suited the streaming environment. And you'd see artists and they'd put out incredible new records, and it was just like there'd be a little flurry around release day, and then it felt like they were fading, and it was just kind of bumming me out. So we were sort of like, my friend Justin and I, for a few years, to be honest, we were sort of like, how would you change it? How would you build a platform that sort of felt like it championed a different type of music, or at least incentivized the creation and valued the creation of albums as an art form, as opposed to kind of chopping things up into songs and playlists and having algorithms be the driver. And ultimately, it was all that thinking that led us down the path that has become Loom. Just to kind of tie a bow on that, like, the important things to know are, you download the app for free and then you buy albums. And once you buy one for $25, you own it forever. It's not just the core album, which you can get on streaming for the most part. It's also bonus tracks, demos, behind the scenes stuff. It's like a little digital box set, and 80% of the net revenue goes to the artists and their partners. So when you buy it, you know that you're really supporting the artist in a way that's quite profoundly different to a stream.
Yeah, which is super important, of course. Now, before we jump into the artists who, just got announced on the platform, I want to talk about what you were saying about, it's not just an album in the track list. It's an album and everything that goes along with an album. The world of music, for so long, it's been about more than just the tracks. We know this, but increasingly in the modern digital landscape, artists, they have to deliver more and more. With Loom, it goes beyond that. Buying an album or an EP can also mean getting demos and live videos and photos. Why is giving people access to the whole world of an album important in the modern music landscape?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I just got back from this conference in Adelaide called IndieCon, which is like basically the whole independent scene, at least the kind of industry part of it, gathers in Adelaide. And it felt like and this is like indie music, not kind of pop music or major label music, but everyone's talking about world building. And it's not like it's new, if you look at the kind of joined up way that a lot of records were articulated from, honestly, from like the 60s on, it's been happening, but it feels even more crucial now in terms of like the kind of records that really break out, and even down to kind of much smaller scale artists, they think very carefully about the visual identity, the story that runs through videos, you know, how you'll, you know, even if you don't care for social, which I personally don't, like they, you have to think about how you articulate it there. You know, there are artists with amazing, really like insightful Substacks. There are,
yeah,
you know, artists which, you know, for whom the like demo writing process, the demoing process is actually effectively a form of the writing process, and you can kind of hear the song evolve that way. And we, you know, we were talking to artists before we even, you know, pushed go on this thing, and they were like, there's something kind of frustrating artistically about all that work being kind of scattered across a bunch of different platforms, and some of the things which feel really crucial staying on a drive because there isn't a natural place for them. And that was kind of, some of those insights were what convinced us actually putting it all together in one place that is, that isn't trying to, you know, like it doesn't have the feel of social, like the, the app experience is totally different to, but when you build around the idea of an album and make it a cul-de-sac and a place that you want to explore unto itself, as opposed to a stop on the way to somewhere else, it feels really different. And hopefully honors that artist's kind of vision in a more pure way.
Yeah, it's a great way of putting it, the cul-de-sac there. Now, at Drop, 22 albums, lots of releases, Dick Move, Fur Patrol, Die Die Die, Phaser Days, Rib Fountain, and more. This second release slate includes another great roster. Drop some names and titles for us.
Sure. So the first is one we actually announced in the previous one, Vooms, Hello Are You There, which turns 20 this year. Been working quite closely with Buzz Direct on this. That's a, just a, I mean, all the Voom albums are pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
So, but that, like, his he really writes through demoing, I think, and you can kind of hear that in the process. And he's got this legendary archive of, like, over 1,000 unreleased songs, and part of what I want to do with this is provide an avenue for that. But so yeah, really, really excited about that one. We, like, there's a pop artist called Emerson who's putting out her, it's our first EP that we put out on Loom. She's putting that out 2 weeks ahead of streaming, and at a $14.99 price point. Office Dogs Prime Corner is a, you know, Cane Strings, newish, newer band. That's great record, got five demos on it. Jim Nothing's Grey Eyes, Grey Lynn, which is a record I totally adore, and that's got like 20 different demos, but also like voice notes, you know, which is like some of those can be so fascinating in terms of how they come together. And Phased on a Pony Swan, which came out in January and was, I think, one of the best records of this year. So I don't know, I'm just thinking about what a Radio 1 listenership might be into, but there's, it's honestly like the M album is totally underrated. She's like an audio engineer who's worked on a bunch of huge records, including Phaser Days and Lord and so on, but her solo album is stunning. So there's just, I love this slate. We were listening to it yesterday when we were prepping it for release. I was like, damn, this is New Zealand music, hey? It's quite good.
I know. I we're in the same boat here. It's like anytime someone wants to talk about New Zealand music, all over that. How does an artist, you know, like what's the behind the scenes of getting an artist onto Loom?
It's like, it's any, I reckon you'd know exactly what it's like. And it's, and it can be like anything you imagine from like, you know, like a really organized manager who just delivers everything when they said they will, and it's perfect and you put it together and it's the easiest thing in the world, to sometimes it's like, it's a real pitched battle, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's persuasion because this thing is brand new, you know? Like, and people are rightly very protective of their art. Also, some artists are like incredibly well organized, and others, like, it's kind of a miracle it comes out at all. And that's part of the why they're geniuses, you know, they're not wired like everyone else. And, but it's, yeah, so like, honestly, it can be anything. And, you know, our team were at the office until 8, 9 o'clock last night, kind of polishing this. We had one arrive that we, you know, had assumed wasn't coming. It's arrived at like 5 o'clock, and it's so exciting, you know, like this kind of sense of, yeah, you're trying to build something new. You're trying to make make music more viable for artists who are really dedicated to it, but the kind of the whole economy of music isn't really set up to support them right now, especially if they're trying to do something different and weird and bold. And so right now we're just in this kind of first flush of trying to build it and willing it to life. And, you know, we've just been really grateful that artists have believed in the idea, championed it, and trusted us with their music.
Yeah, beautiful. And now this next question, it's more of a, I guess, my own curiosity here. Apps, they tend to come out on Apple first and then come out on Android. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, so I'm speaking as a non-technical person, and it's possible that Drianne Nord, our tech lead who lives in Dunedin, actually is listening right now, so I hope I'm not mischaracterizing it this, but there just is a much more convoluted process of approvals for Android. And that might be in part driven by the fact that, like, Apple's released, I think, maybe a few dozen devices across its entire history in terms of the iPhone, but there's, I think it's like 19,000 different Android devices in the world. So the kind of number of things it has to, you know, systems it has to work on are quite different. And they have a few different sort of, you know, like the apps are very similar, but they're not the same. So, there are like app developers right now just shaking their heads at me. But that's my sort of my understanding of it, is that there are just kind of some extra complexities that go along with the Android sort of staging of releases. Plus, the other thing that which has happened lately is just the number of kind of vibe coded apps out of the kind of AI world that are being submitted. Just means that pipes that used to run relatively smoothly are quite clogged with releases. So it's been a bit of a mesh to get live, but we're really happy to have them both in app stores globally now.
Nice. You may not be a tech guy, but you've satisfied my own curiosity there. So thank you. And just a couple last questions to end off. In the music industry of Aotearoa, from your perspective, how is Loom already kind of making waves?
I mean, if you look at like album sales in New Zealand, sales as opposed to streaming equivalent units, I think there are something like 9,000 albums sold in the first quarter of this year, is the data I saw, somewhere a bit below that. Yeah. And without wanting to kind of make public our figures, without having checked that that's all good, like we were, you know, in our first week for that first drop, we saw, like, we represent probably 20 to 30% of the sales of New Zealand albums that week, for a store with, like, only 22 albums in it, which if it was a physical store, you'd be like, that's quite a short trip. We were really pleased with that, and, like, 8 of the releases made the Aotearoa charts, which, you know, either debuting, re-entering, or going up. So, you know, it's, like, this is going to be a long journey, and we're in Australia again next month. We aim to have our first Australian artists on platform soon, but we know that New Zealand music is like a paradox, right? Like, I very genuinely think on a per capita basis, or even just raw numbers, like, what we do here is kind of nuts. Like, it's the quality, the creativity, the vision, just the breadth, it's like stunning. And it, like, and then you look at our domestic listenership figures, and they're some of the lowest in the world because we're a small country and there's no language barrier to keep music out. And you're like, that just kind of, it's like heartbreaking. So when you see, okay, we're actually like putting real money into musicians' pockets, and hopefully encourage them to keep going, better hopefully soon comes. that's just so meaningful. Like, I'm not saying that we've like transformed anyone's life financially just yet, but yeah, even from the kind of the difficult base we're at right now, like, you can feel that there's something starting to build. And the more that we can convince audiences and artists that, you know, this thing, which we purposely designed, that there's no way that we can, you know, like the 80-20 revenue share in the artists and rights holders' favour is like very deliberate. Like,
yeah,
we want to have our interests perfectly aligned, and most of the money, you know, by far going to them. That if we can land that idea with people, then, you know, hopefully we can change the world a bit for a piece of culture that means so much to us.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a radical thing. You know, it's an idea that you pay the artists what they're worth, or as much as you can get to that number, and that you're offering something different. And you're right, a long journey, but doing the thing in the first place is how change happens, when we turn around and go, actually, we don't have to follow these systems that we've been following. We can do something different.
I mean, honestly, I couldn't have put it better. That's like, you can feel like in New Zealand sometimes it's like trying to do something big is almost shameful, you know, so you have to kind of check your weird national cringe.
Yeah.
But like, that is 100% why we're doing it, you know, and it was just one of those like ideas. Once it gets in your head, you're just sort of stuck. That thing's not moving unless you try to do it. So, yeah, we're just really hopeful that, you know, any artists or kind of album-oriented fans listening are up for giving it a go. Because we personally think it's awesome, like the actual experience of it. When you're listening to music in this quite pure environment that's not trying to get you to listen to an audiobook or a podcast, or not that I don't have a podcast, but you know, music's the sacred thing. And yeah, that it just feels really different, and more reverent to the form.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Duncan. It's been great to have you on the program.
No, I've loved it. Thanks so much, Lee. Welcome to come back anytime if you'll have me.
We will. Thank you very much. Have a great rest of your morning. That was Duncan Greaves on the program chatting about Loom, the digital music platform. If you are intrigued, if you want to find out more, you can go to the Loom website. You can also find them on both the Apple and Android apps. Go check it out. Go support our artists. It's great mahi being done in this country. I'm going to play you a little.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.